it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 10 minutes after 3 o'clock. And, you know, obviously, and Western New York is really very lucky because we generally don't get days like this. When we do get a day like it has been the past few days, it's out of the ordinary. It's an anomaly. It is an outlier. But now this is like 2 or 3 days. We've had a traffic Mongolian cluster dance, and things are moving as slowly as pudding. And we're going to talk about your experiences with this, and I think we can actually bring this into the here and now and the future as well on the program. But before we go any further, here is a guy who is a major team player on News Radio 930 WBEN with traffic. Here's Trevor. So what kind of complaints and issues have you heard from the drivers who've contacted you at WBEN Traffic Command?
Well, looking at some of the complaints was, why aren't we moving around the 190, or why is the 190 north moving, and why is the 190 south not moving? A lot of that right now is just because of the ramp closures, and I already mentioned before that the Niagara Street ramps heading northbound and southbound are still closed. That is the biggest one as of right now, or why has the 190 south been congested, you know, for 24 straight hours, essentially, since yesterday afternoon. I've been seeing a lot of that. A lot of the stuff along Union Road, I know that Joe Beamer kind of touched on this a little bit too, but this is on the overpass from Indian Church Road to Clinton Street in West Seneca. The overpass in there did not look like it was in the best shape or best condition, so that is actually closed at this time. And what was the other one I was looking at? I have a whole bunch of different tabs open here. That is Military Road. We have a bunch of Canadian, maybe commercial vehicles, tractor trailers that have just lined up back to back to back. So Military Road now, northbound and southbound near Lewiston, around the Lewiston area approaching exit 24 at Whitmer. That area is closed now, and we're just seeing a ton of parked commercial vehicles along the shoulder of the road, along the right-hand shoulder and left-hand lane.
Wow. Well, I would like to hear from some truckers. Have you heard from any truckers calling into the newsroom or WBEN Traffic Command?
Me personally, not. Not yet, but if they do want to call, they are available to do so if they would like. Or they can call into the show if this is the main topic for today, Tom.
Well, absolutely. And let me give the phone number, Trevor. Thank you. We'll be going to you on a regular basis today. You're kind enough to put in the extra hours. We're going to use you as much as possible until we drain you dry.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Well, that's what we do here in the media at News Radio 930 WBEN. I've been made dry so many times, I might be a desert. That might be my nickname. It is Bowerly, and I want to find out how this traffic quagmire, I need different words. I used quagmire yesterday. Standstill, Mongolian cluster dance. Okay, they work. Slow as pudding. That works, but basically, we're kind of spoiled, you know. At Western New York does not really have the kind of daily traffic issues of a place like Charlotte or Jacksonville or major metropolitan areas. What is our mantra? What is it in Western New York? It is, we're 20 minutes away from anything. Well, not over the course of the past couple of days. And 803-0930 is the phone number in the 716, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And I would like to put out a very special call to hear from truck drivers. Yes. I mentioned this yesterday. I mentioned it before, but I have this thing for truck drivers. I have enormous respect for those of you who drive rigs over the road to put bread on the table of your family and to plan for your own retirement, of course, because I think your job would absolutely suck for many reasons. Number one, how do you actually enjoy your home when you're never there? Number two, long days. Number three, which might be number one, idiots like your humble host here who drive four-wheelers. And look, I know because we've talked before on the air that it's not a good idea to cut in front of a loaded truck and expect something that is full, heavy, and loaded to stop on a dime if I slam on my brakes. I get it. I really don't want to be rear-ended by, well, by anything, but especially an 18-wheeler. I'm just saying, I treat you guys with reverence and respect, and you ladies as well. And a lot of couples drive truck together, which I think is awesome. And some of the truck drivers have little furry friends they bring around all over the country. Ado, I want to hear from you because you are being significantly impacted by this. And it's not your fault, but you're going to feel it, and you are feeling it in the paycheck and in your wallet. And frankly, I think that sucks. And we are still awaiting more details on exactly what is going on in terms of the cause of everything. But the, I mean, look, the situation has apparently been resolved. But just like airlines, right now, we're dealing with the backup. And when you consider the amount of traffic, commercial traffic that crosses the international border between the United States and Canada, and remember, Buffalo, Western New York, Niagara County, that's just one gateway, if you will, between the United States and Canada. And I'm going to say something here that may or may not be controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. Whenever, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, okay, it's an opinion, whenever you hear politicians talking about, we need to close down the 198, we need to shut down the Skagitwa Expressway, we need to fill in the Kensington Expressway, the 33. Okay, so now, do you believe me when I talk about the surface roads bearing the brunt of the traffic? Because the traffic isn't going to go away, even if fewer people are going downtown, okay? It doesn't matter because the traffic is always going to be there. So tell me, in what sane, logical world would you want to limit the traffic routes for people to gain ingress and egress to and from the city of Buffalo? To me, if I was in charge, you'd want to make it as easy as possible for people to get into the city, if I cared about the city. But the idea of doing drastic changes to either the 33 or the 198, to me, it makes no logical sense. It does not. And I realize there are people out there who don't like individual ownership of cars. They want us all in mass transit and eating bugs. Okay, I get that. But this is an example in the real world, not the theoretical hypothesis. This is an example in the real world of what happens when traffic becomes a Mongolian cluster dance. So never let them. Again, this is my opinion. I could be wrong. You never know. In my opinion, you got to have the 198 open as an expressway. You got to have the Kensington open as an expressway. The surface roads are not going to work because the surface roads, for the most part, were designed in a long ago era before the advent of major motor vehicle traffic. Okay. Motor vehicle traffic. And as much as I hate to say this, because I think they really screwed up along the 190 and the river, we talked about that last week, but everything was designed, basically, what we know now, okay, was designed for the world as it was in the post-World War II era when everybody had a car and a lot of people went downtown to work. And Ingram Micro, of course, they're going downtown, which, you know, I can understand wanting to get away from the Amherst taxes. Believe me, I can definitely understand that. But it also is going to bring maybe other issues for Ingram Micro. But frankly, it's not my problem. You work at Ingram Micro, it's kind of your problem. And I hope things are resolved safe. I hope they've got a parking lot that is safe for you. I hope that they have all of the facilities that are safe for you and that you don't have to commute too much further than what you've been used to for all of these years. But the bottom line is that a day, or actually days like we've been having lately in terms of traffic, I really believe should illustrate to you that we need the Skagitwa as an expressway. We need the 33 as an expressway. And plans to dramatically change those easy access ingresses and egresses are going to result in traffic congestion in the city of Buffalo and Cheektowaga, because part of the 33 is in Cheektowaga. It's going to result in traffic issues that are basically forced errors by government. Okay, are you on the same page with me? Because I really do believe that actually is the case. 803-0930 is the phone number. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And I'm going to put out the special call for truckers, because you have to deal with so much all of the time, okay? Oh, seriously. There's always something going on. It might be road work. It might be an accident. It might be, you know, take your pick of things that it could be. But you have so many unpredictable variables that come up on your daily schedule and in your daily life that you've got to have the patience of a saint. Or I'll steal something from Junior Soprano. You would have to be patience on a monument. I always like that expression. 803, I want to hear from you guys, because this is really unusual, is it not, for Western New York? Very unusual to have this kind of stuff going on. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So any calls coming to you, Trevor? And I'm sorry I keep saying, like, Trevor, Tanner. There's just too many T's and ERs in those names. I'm sorry. I apologize.
And both German fault. Last names, too, right?
I think yeah, exactly. Both and you kind of look alike in a weird way. You could be brothers.
We both have some really, really nice hair, if I must say. I have not personally gotten any calls from any truckers yet here out here in the newsroom, but that is subject to change at any point, because we are seeing new information still rolling in through my emails and through just looking around, poking around X and seeing what the updates are around the Canadian border.
Well, I hope to hear from some truckers, because when you think about it, Trevor, I happen to think truckers are the best drivers in the world. I don't know if you agree with me, but I really do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they have to be the most careful. They're the ones that bring all the goods, right? I know that you kind of made that quote at the end of Joe Beamer's show, the whole Jimmy Hoffa quote. Exactly right. I mean, they're the ones that bring all the goods here. We need them. We need commercial traffic to run smoothly in this country and through Canada as well. This is just unfortunate what we're seeing right now.
Well, I was just kind of curious. I don't know if you have sources out there, but the issue on the Canadian side, has anybody said anything about foreign hackers, anything like that?
Nothing that I've seen as of right now. That could be speculation, but I have not seen anything like that just yet.
Well, I was certainly asking as an interrogative. I was not stating that as a declarative statement. I'm just curious about why people are so incredibly, you know, what is the cause of people being so incredibly inconvenienced? Because, look, you do traffic, so you're familiar with the patterns. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much worse has it been now than it is on a typical day?
Well, I think, Tom, I'm going to go with the mentality that it can always get worse at any given time. I'm going to give it a 9.8 out of 10 right now, because we are seeing commercial vehicles scattered virtually everywhere, especially around the Niagara Falls and Lewiston area. It is absolutely crazy how many commercial vehicles we are seeing on the shoulder of some of these major roadways, and also just seeing some overall road closures and detours being put up just because we're seeing so many of these commercial vehicles having to find spots to park.
Mm. Yeah, this is insane. Maybe somebody could open a temporary truck stop and make some money. But I really do feel for you truckers. I'd love to hear from you. And by the way, let me also state that this is yet another reason, if you needed one, why AM radios need to be in automobiles. You think any FM station is doing this? You think XM Sirius is doing this? No, they're not. We're doing it because live, local, News Radio 930, WBEN, if it's happening to you, we cover it. And basically, I've said this a million times, but I know it sounds really weird, but it really isn't if you think about it. If you are caught in a traffic jam going to work or from work or anywhere you happen to be trying to travel, the traffic jam you experience becomes the biggest news story of your day. It really does. This is going to be what you talk about when you get home. So we're talking about it now. And again, I think what's really relevant here, a couple of things. Number one is as much as I support border security and taking illegal invaders out of the United States, there's a part of me, and again, I could be wrong about this, there's a part of me who would like to see the United States-Canada border go back to what it was prior to 9/11. Just like we now don't have to take off our shoes at the airport, because it used to be so easy, generally, and we did have backups back then, but it used to be so easy, ingress and egress, Canada, United States. Part of me wants to go back to that. Any takers on that? Used to be easy. Now it ain't. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBE. And you remember the old days, right? Where are you born? United States. Go ahead. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We're going to cover this until the cows come home. Ah, yes. I believe this was Tom Petty's breakthrough hit, Damn the Torpedoes. Was that the album, Tom Petty? The Waiting. And yeah, the waiting is the hardest part, especially for those of us who don't happen to be particularly patient. That is one of your humble host's shortcomings. I've tried to get better at that. I really have. WBEN Arthur Pressman Traffic Attorney Time is coming up on 3:38. And as you knew, traffic here has been an absolute standstill, especially for the trucking community. And for those of you whose lives have been affected over the past few days by the Canadian issues, I would love to hear from you about what got screwed up. I'd love to know what is going on right now in your life and your world relative to traffic. Even if you are simply a four-wheeler kind of person, maybe you were going to go over to Canada to play bingo or something, and those plans had to be done away with. But you might actually be a trucker. And as I've said, I have long admired truckers very, very much, except for the ones from Quebec. Quebec, I don't even consider that part of Canada. Do you? Okay. I've long admired truckers, okay, because I happen to think they're the best of the best drivers, generally speaking. And I have never forgotten in about 1990 or so, my first wife was driving through, of all places, and you can look this on a map, East St. Louis, Illinois, and she got a flat tire. Getting a flat tire in East St. Louis is really not a good idea. It's not a terribly safe place in which to find yourself at night with an infant, I'm just saying. Actually, I think she was pregnant at the time, or with child, if you prefer. But do you know who helped her out? Yeah, this truck driver. And I don't know if he was local or if he was over the road and did huge road trips. I have no idea. But this truck driver, who clearly would have been on a schedule, had a log to fill out. He actually stopped his rig and he walked up to my first wife and said, "May I help you?" And my first wife said, "Well, I've got a flat tire." This truck driver changed her tire immediately. She offered him money. He would not accept it. And then he got into his rig and he drove off. So that is one of the many reasons why I have this incredible and deep respect for truck drivers. I know you do a lot of things like that. I know it just wasn't my wife who's been helped out by a truck driver. All right. Clearly, I've never forgotten it. And clearly, it made an impact on me. So, yes, you truck drivers, I admire you. I think you are awesome, and I want to give you the forum, Senator, to take the floor and tell us what this has done for your schedule and your life. It's certainly hit you in the pocketbook, right? And it's also screwed up your schedule big time. And I'm still waiting to hear, are we talking about a computer situation, like an aggressive action from a foreign actor? Is that what is really behind the inconvenience?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here because think about it. Last week in Europe, a whole bunch of airports were affected by some computer stuff and also some drone stuff. Hey, at least we don't see drones over the Rainbow Bridge, right? Yeah, you know, Trevor, you just said almost like gridlock, and I'm going to say it kind of does sound like actual gridlock, not some ersatz gridlock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm checking some of these cameras right now. I got it right on the Skajakwa Expressway along the 190 South. Completely stopped. I think I've seen the same picture of the front of the same car for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. Tim Wenger and Lisa Felizzi sent me pictures from earlier, and I suspected if they were to resend photographs from the exact same position, probably not a lot had changed.
I think I've seen the same blue car for 10 minutes now on this camera. I'm not even going to lie to you right now.
But, you know, I was thinking something else. Trevor, are you the kind of guy who, when your gas tank, and I'm not talking about when snow is outside, I'm talking about on a regular basis, when your gas tank gets to half full, do you immediately fill it up? Because some of us, I wouldn't know anybody who does this, Trevor, but some people might look at the number of miles left of fuel and maybe take that to heart and may run out of gas at a very inconvenient time. I don't know anybody who would do that, but what are you like?
Well, so I drive a 2012 Ford Escape that's pushing 200,000 miles on it. Anywhere near a quarter tank, I am immediately filling up. I am not going anywhere under a quarter tank with that because it can run out of gas. I know I get the little light on the dash that says 50 miles to E. I don't trust that ever. So anytime I approach a quarter tank, I'm immediately stopping at the nearest gas station and filling up.
Well, you know, Trevor, the reason I even bring that up is I'm thinking that a lot of people who are used to Western New York traffic who do not pay attention to AM radio, in particular, News Radio 930 WBEN, they might look at that indicator and say, well, I've got 50 miles left to drive. But they get into traffic and suddenly the tank ends up, shall we say, empty. Because I know somebody who, not that long ago, Trevor, said to his wife, hey, I've got 40 miles. We've got 40 miles. We don't need to stop now. But his wife insisted that we stop. And it turned out when he saw how much gas the vehicle actually took, there probably was about a mile left of fuel in the tank. I don't know of whom I could be speaking, but that actually happened.
I'm just
putting it out there.
You know, believe it or not, when your car is in idle and you see that 50 miles to E thing and it slowly goes down to 49, 48, 47, that feeling of impending doom, I don't want anyone to go through that. If you are at a quarter tank or a half tank right now and you can find a gas station, please go to it because we've been seeing a bunch of stalled vehicles this entire week. And I honestly think some of those could have been caused by just flat out running out of gas from sitting in traffic
I would love to hear from people to whom that has happened. And it's not a judgment thing. It's not a blame thing because there, but for the grace of God, go many people in Western New York and all over the country. We think we know what the traffic is going to be like. We get on the road. We run into a big jam, and suddenly, and by the way, here's another one of Tom's rules. The less miles you have on your indicator for how many miles you have, the faster those available miles will be used up. So if you have 400 miles showing that you have as far as fuel, it will take forever to get to 350. But if you're at 50 miles, you can drive for 5 minutes or stay in traffic for 10 minutes. That 50 goes to maybe 10 miles really fast. It seems to increase exponentially the closer to empty you receive. And thank God my wife insisted we pull over and fuel up. I didn't realize how empty we were, but we would have been calling the AAA to get some fuel brought to us, which they do at least the plan that I'm in. I think that's a general offering, but I'm not 100%. Unfortunately, when the price of gas goes up, a lot of people abuse that AAA benefit. I've never abused it, frankly. 803-0930. What is this traffic nightmare doing to you and your schedule and your own personal economics, truckers? And again, please understand, if I don't hear from truckers today, I'm going to feel as though my love for the trucking community is unrequited. What that means is I love you, but you don't love me. You're not going to help a brother out with some information as to how your life is being affected by this U.S.-Canada border thing. You're going to let me dangle in the wind when I clearly have a major crush on truckers. I'm just putting it out there. I would love to hear from you. I think a lot of people would love to hear from truckers because this is your bread and butter. This isn't just a random thing. This affects your bottom line. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Yes, I think truck drivers are awesome. Absolutely awesome. I would not have the patience for such a job. I'm not even sure I could back up a tractor trailer, to be very brutally honest with you. Do you guys have cameras on your rigs now? Or do you have to do it by just your sight lines? When I see a tractor trailer park in a precarious spot, I am amazed and blown away. I may be the king of parallel parking in a motor vehicle like a car. A truck? No way. Here's Kevin Pendleton, WBEN. Hello, Kevin.
How you doing, Tom?
I'm fine. Oh, you're the other Kevin, the other white meat.
I'm a different Kevin from Pendleton.
Oh, okay. You're not Caribbean Kevin. I was going to say Black Kevin and be like The Hangover. You're Black Doug. You got to stop that. That's a great movie. But we know Kevin. He's a great guy, so he's not going to be upset or offended. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Hey, you're talking about almost running out of gas in the thought of that driving down the New York Thruway. Almost happened to me this past summer, pulling a camper back from the Adirondacks. And it had to have been the windiest day that I've ever driven in, and I was driving straight into the wind, and I missed stopping at a rest stop, and I'm like looking down going, oh my God, I'm getting like 5 miles to the gallon into this headwind pulling my camper, and I barely made it to the next rest stop to pull in and fill up with gas. I thought I was going to be on the side of the road on the thruway out of gas.
Oh, good heavens. Well, it would have been so much easier had you been driving an EV. Ha, ha, ha. Because they're very easy to find, those chargers, you know.
And normally getting about 10 to 12 miles to a gallon pulling the camper, and I think I was getting about 4 going into, I was double knuckling it on my steering wheel as I was trying to hold on to that thing going down the thruway. Windier than crazy.
You know what? Hey, Kevin, I have to say, one of the things we learn from situations like that is what we are doing wrong. And in my case, I realized I was living far too dangerously. I do not let it go under a quarter of a tank in the summertime. Wintertime, I've always been very anal about half a tank or lower, you fill up. Summertime now, or non-snowy times, a quarter of a tank I fill up because we almost got burned by my stupidity not that long ago.
I know exactly what you're saying. I thought, I didn't even realize that I was getting that low until I looked down and I saw the miles ticking down, ticking down, ticking down. And I'm like, oh,
very
boy,
fast.
Where did I just, which rest stop did I just pass? And I don't know where I am.
Hey, you know, Kevin, I got to tell you, the best part about my situation and filling up when I did is it denied my wife the opportunity to say, I told you so. And I appreciate that. I really do. Anything else from you, Kevin?
That was it. Thanks, Tom.
All right, thank you. Hey, anybody out there who got stuck in the horrible traffic because you didn't fill up the gas tank before you started driving home? No judgment, no blame. I can easily understand how that would happen. Let's go to Richard in Clarence on WBEN talking about traffic stuff because it's been a mess. Richard, hello, Dick. You're on WBEN.
I'll give you my one and fast rule about gas.
I could not understand you. Could you say that again? I literally could not understand what you were saying.
Yeah, I'll give you my one and fast rule about gas tanks and okay. filling them up. When you're traveling over 175 miles and you get the half a tank, you fill up your gas tank. And where I learned this is me and my brother-in-law would travel a lot out west because he lives in Phoenix. So we go to the National Monument. Well, one day we stopped at a National Monument and stayed overnight. And I can't remember which one it was. And we were below a half a tank of gas. And we came out of that National Monument, and we hit the first gas station. And the guy wanted $4.60 a gallon. And I said, you know what? Let's go up the road. The other ones were $3.10 a gallon. We had to go 50 more miles before we hit a gas station that was $3.10. So when you get to a half a tank of gas and you're traveling a lot of miles, you fill up that car. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you've learned from bitter experience. I think a lot of people have learned from bitter experience. And the one thing I learned over recent history is don't trust when your car says you have 50 miles left. Because I literally said, honey, we don't need to pull over now. We have 50 miles and we only have 5 miles to drive until we get there. And as it turned out, we probably would have made it another couple of miles and we would have died right in an area where there are no gas stations.
No. You got it. Half a tank, fill up. That's it. No question about it. Winter last summer.
Understood, man. I think a lot of people, well, I actually wonder how many people were like you and your friend here on the other end of the phone who never had a problem running out of gas before because they know about how much gas they're going to use on the drive home, but they're not accounting for traffic issues. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. Actually, I think I've only run out of gas once, and I believe My first wife and I, before we were married, were going to Barbara Burt's wedding. Barbara Burt used to work at News Radio 930 WBEN. My first wife knew her, and we're going down to Chautauqua for the wedding. We made it to the Mayville exit, and I think my car died at the Mayville exit. Yeah, and if you know the Mayville exit, yeah, you got a little bit of a walk there, but I think we made it on time. But it's horrible, absolutely horrible. And had we run out of gas within the past month or so, that would have given Rochelle all the material she would need to lay into me for the next 50 years. Serious, I'm not kidding. All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time is 10 minutes after 4. We've got calls coming in. I will get to those pronto. Basically, patience is really a virtue today, says one of the most impatient in traffic guys in the world. Let's go to Rick on a cell phone. Rick, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I was driving from West Seneca. I'm already in North Tonawanda now, but I can tell you that a lot of people must be listening to the radio because they're staying off 190. It's basically a parking lot from the Dent building on the 290 going west all the way to the West Seneca exit on 90. I mean, it is just solid cars. Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything that congested.
Oh, that is absolutely horrible. Where were you trying to go?
You're looking at from the Blue Water Tower to the West Seneca. You're maybe looking at a 2-hour delay minimum, maybe 3. I don't know. I'm fortunate I was going the other direction, so and it was in just normal evening traffic. But going west on 90, man, that is unbearable.
No, it absolutely is unbearable. And thank goodness it is also unusual for Western New York, because we do not have in Western New York the kind of daily cluster dances that people in other cities not that far away experience. You ever driven through Pittsburgh in rush hour or Charlotte? It doesn't matter. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Rick.
Okay.
All right, 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But those of you who actually are truckers, and you do a lot more driving than most of us do, there are certain cities that, all right, on your route that you take, on your schedule, have you ever noticed that they line you up to go into rush hour in cities which are notorious for bad rush hour traffic? You could leave at 3 o'clock in the morning, but somehow you seem to pull into Charlotte at exactly 4 p.m. How did that work out for you? And the thing about Charlotte, if you've driven there, and many of you have, is some of those lanes, what do they call them? Express lanes, whatever they are. But they've got the post sticking up from the road. And man, if you make the wrong decision on those lanes, it ain't a lot of fun, let me tell you. Not that that's ever happened to me. Jacksonville is another one. Jacksonville on a Friday afternoon. You ever get caught in that nightmare? Oy, it's bad. It is Yom Kippur, and a blessed Yom Kippur to my many Jewish listeners, most of whom are very close friends, actually. Here is Bob in West Seneca on WBEN. Hello, Bob.
Hi, how are we doing today?
Wonderful, because I'm not driving on the 290.
Okay, just for reference, I was taking flying lessons back in the 80s. And the one thing my instructor drummed into me before I did my long-distance cross-country is, if you get down to a quarter tank, you put it down on the ground immediately while you still have a running engine. You do not want to be making dead-stick landings with an airplane.
Well, Bob, I mean, as you know, as a guy who has flown airplanes, as you are very well aware, it's one thing to run out of fuel when you're on planet Earth and on terra firma, something entirely different when you're at 5,000 feet.
Oh, yeah, you can say a few expletives as you're gliding down toward some farmer's field. The hope is smooth and not currently plowed over.
You know, my friend, I don't know that I'd be exclaiming expletives. I believe I might actually resort to prayer, and it might actually be more than thy will be done in a situation like that.
Oh, I believe that. one last thing is, I'm retired from the post office, and sometimes when you have substitutes in your route, they don't exactly gas up your vehicle. And I've had a few times I've almost coasted in the gas stations on my day after coming back after day off to get gas in my vehicle, because I'd get out in the morning and find out it was on total empty.
Okay, this is actually a great topic that you brought up, because generally speaking, and maybe it's changed over the past 40 years, but generally speaking, if you're a cop and you're doing 8 hours on the road, you make sure the tank is full when you leave and you gas it up all the way to full at the end of your tour of duty. If you forget, that's not good. So it's the same thing with the post office?
Oh, yeah, you check your vehicle every morning. And if you need gas, you get your gas card, you know, your little credit card, and you gas it up at the station when you're on your way out to your route.
Wow. So how many times did that happen? Was this like a regular thing, or was it every now and again?
No, usually substitute's really good at making sure your vehicle's always full. Sometimes when you get a non-regular substitute, they may be more interested in getting done and getting back on time than... and they might not really check your vehicle because it's not theirs. They're not their regular vehicle, so they usually cut corners.
Well, that's unfortunate and not a way to win friends in a job presumably you would like to do full-time. When did you retire, sir?
About a year ago.
Oh, do you know Ponytail Pete in Williamsville?
No, I mostly worked on the Cheektowaga, and I don't know most anybody else anywhere else.
Well, Ponytail Pete is one of the great letter carriers of all time. Anybody lucky enough in the village of Williamsville to have Ponytail Pete, you are experiencing the very finest service and greatest personality of the United States Postal Service. How's that for an ad?
Oh, it sounds pretty good. I'll take it.
Oh, I see, letter carriers, in addition to truck drivers, are also some of the greatest people in the entire universe. And I mean that very, very sincerely. I've had a thing for letter carriers and truck drivers for many, many years because of all the extras that those two professions do for people. You ever do anything special? I know we're talking about the traffic and what it's doing out there in Western New York and the amazing putting slow traffic many people are experiencing. But have you ever, basically in your career at the Postal Service, saved a life or done anything extraordinary that was above and beyond the call of duty?
Nothing major, but I've checked up on customers that I've noticed mail accumulating in the box, and I've checked up on them to make sure they're all right.
I'm going to guess most of the time they went away from town and never told you?
Yes and no. One person was just not exactly moving the best, and she finally had the tendency to let her mail accumulate. And then when it got too much, I actually drove up to her house. She had a cluster box down in the patio home complex, but I went up to her house and checked up on her, and she appreciated that.
Would you recommend the Postal Service as a career for young people?
Sure. At the very least, you're walking the route. If you're walking the route, you're going to keep yourself relatively healthy. I would have put on a lot of poundage if I had a desk job.
So well, actually, you know, every day. I've been doing some reading on this very subject, Bob, and actually the best exercise, it's not a slow walk and it's not necessarily running. It's somewhere between a walk and a run. And if you think about it, that's something letter carriers do every single day. You guys ought to be living forever.
Yes and no. It depends. If you get a mounted route, you have a tendency to sit in the vehicle on a day and not get it, move around much. But I had a route that was partly mounted, and a good half of it was walking. And I did that on purpose just to, keep the exercise.
I was, partly mounted once. It didn't work out. Thanks very much, Bob. I appreciate the call, brother.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Did Bye. Tom just make a concupiscent comment? Yes, he did. Did you understand it? Maybe. Okay. Coming up on 20 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN, that is Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time. See, I'm trying to keep things as light as I can today to deal with your frustration and banging the steering wheel, because another day of traffic, which ain't Western New York traffic. It's like we imported traffic from Charlotte or Pittsburgh. You ever get stuck in Pittsburgh drive time? Tell me what little fun that is. Oh, my goodness. All I can say about Pittsburgh drive time, thank God I had an empty jug with me. That's all I'm going to say, because things were critical at that moment. Sometimes it's good to be a man. 803-0930, star 930. I do feel bad for the windshield behind me. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. How is this traffic mess affecting you? Something else. when we have days like this and yesterday, do you understand why it's a really stupid idea to mess with the Skajakwita, the 198, or to mess with the Kensington, the 33, and how surface streets are not really built to accommodate traffic? And if you want people to come and spend money downtown, you got to make ingress and egress easy. You don't make it more difficult because you want everybody taking mass transit and eating bugs. Do you understand that? It's not just an exercise in rhetoric or politic. It is an exercise in the realities of everyday life. This is what your life would be like if those roads did not exist as they are now. Is that the world you want? I got to throw that question out. And you know what? Something else too. Those of you who with EVs, they're talking about running out of gasoline, but running out of charge on your battery in an EV, to me, would be so easy to do if you weren't listening to News Radio 930 WBEN, if you didn't have an awareness as to what has been going on the past few days. It's easier to run out of gas, I think, than it is to run out of electricity. And that's why I would never buy an EV. I just wouldn't. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So if you were trying to break this down, Trevor, into percentages in terms of four-wheel or even two-wheel motor vehicle traffic that is non-commercial versus the over-the-road trucks, how would you break it down?
Ooh, if we gave like a percentage, I would say 60-40 as far as four-wheel that just happened to get caught up in a lot of the commercial vehicle traffic. Like I said, you know, I've been looking at the same car for the past 25 minutes right now, looking at the camera along the Skajakwita Expressway. A lot of four-wheel non-commercial cars, they just happen to be stuck in this due to everything, which is very, very unfortunate. But yeah, I would go with a 60-40. I think that's a pretty safe number.
And as far as the motion, not the emotion, I imagine there's a lot of frustration and banging of steering wheels, but the motion, when you say 25 minutes, you've been looking at the same car, I'm going to presume that that is for dramatic flair and not actually an accurate representation of time.
No, we've been seeing I like to use the term snail pace, and we've been seeing just very, very slow-moving congestion everywhere, it seems like, whether you're talking about the 90 West, maybe you're trying to find a detour around the 33, and not even just that either, just seeing road closures due to all of this stuff. I mean, Union Road, I mean, Military Road, we're seeing a ton of road closures, but as far as the overall congestion is concerned, moving very, very slowly, and I would assume it to take you from, let's just say, Ontario Street all the way through Skajakwita Expressway along the 190 South, my guess is that would take at least a half hour to 45 minutes.
Mm. You know, we've talked about this, Trevor, but one bad traffic day in Western New York caused by one thing, that is unusual, especially when it gets as bad as it did yesterday and actually the day before, but to have a couple of days or more of consistently awful traffic, it's not the usual here in Western New York.
No, not at all. And I think the most frustrating thing is we're just not hearing any answers from anyone right now.
Right.
I mean, we're seeing commercial vehicles and just regular non-commercial cars. They're just trying to get home right now, stuck in this, and nobody's saying a word. That is the frustrating thing.
Yeah, because people want official information. They want to know why their lives have been upended. And basically, I don't have any more information than anybody else. And I do know, obviously, that computer hacking has been a big deal, in particular with high-value targets like airports and airlines and everything else. And I guess border crossings would also be a very juicy target. But I don't have any reliable information that in fact, is what's happened.
No, you're exactly right. Everything that people are thinking is going on, as of right now, we haven't had an official statement, so we can look at it as speculation, but we can only assume. And like I said before, if you are stuck in this and you are a non-commercial or maybe even a commercial driver for that matter, just maintain your patience. You're not the only one stuck in this traffic. Everyone else around you is also stuck. Don't want to make any sort of bad situation worse.
Well, some of us aren't very patient, but we must learn it over time. Thank you, Trevor. There's Trevor Hauer on News Radio 930 WBEN. I want to take more calls from you guys because, honestly, this is a really strange situation. We've had times where we've had bouts with bad traffic, but in terms of how long this is taking to resolve and the backup and the continued closings, that's a little bit weird, but that's what happened. Hey, I think we need to go back to the way the U.S.-Canada crossing was before 9/11. Remember those days? Where are you born? U.S. Have a good day. Or where are you going? Chinese food. Have a good day. Where are you going? Going to the King Edward. We're going to see tons of fun. All right, have a good night. Now, it's obviously changed. I know it maybe doesn't harmonize well with my thoughts on national security and illegals, but the technology has also advanced a little bit over the past generation, wouldn't you say? 803-0930-star-930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It's Bowerly, and this is a reason AM radio needs to be in vehicles. Oh, Exile. You know, this is not a difficult song to play, but it's so tasteful. I used to hate this song when I was growing up. Now I think it's kind of cool. It's Bowerly and WBEN Arthur Pressman. Traffic Attorney Time is coming up on 4:38. Talking about the traffic, which is a Mongolian cluster dance, and it has been. And it's so frustrating trying to get from point A to point B in a place where you usually can get anywhere from anywhere to anywhere in 20 minutes. Hey, Trevor, Mr. Rush Hour. I think America wants to know if Mr. Traffic Dude, have you ever run out of gas? Because we talked about this earlier, but I just wonder how many people whose cars died in rush hour were the people, like I was not that long ago, who thought they had a lot more miles in the tank than they actually did. Has it ever happened to you, sir?
I have never run out of gas a day in my life, but I think I just put that out there, and I think I'm going to jinx myself anytime. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep my same mentality. I'm going to follow by that quarter tank rule. Every time I get close to a quarter tank, going to fill up all the way. Not even going to risk it. I cannot risk that, especially with my old SUV. Don't get me wrong. That is a tank almost pushing 200,000 miles, but I cannot be risking that, because when I see that light on the dash, say 50 miles to E, forget about it. That is when I am hustling to the gas station.
Hey, this is a weird question, but what was your first car? The first car you actually owned, because everybody in the world, at least penis Americans, the first car always stays special. What was yours?
That is my first car, my 2012 Ford Escape.
Oh my goodness.
Red SUV. Got it during the COVID pandemic from my it used to be my father's car, and then he got a new one, sold it to me. I've been driving it ever since. It's been a tank so far. I'm just kind of waiting for it to break down any day now. So I can at least have an excuse to lease out a new one.
Well, something Dad taught me a long time ago. He's no longer with us, but he was talking about all of the extras and electronics on vehicles. And this is before what's out there today. He used to say, the more toys and bells and whistles it has, the more stuff that can go wrong.
That's right, and I've been treating it with extra special care, because when I'm on the highway, I like to conserve and I like to save gas. I of course limit myself to 55 miles per hour like everybody else should be doing. I set the cruise control on there. I'm not burning through gas. I'm not doing the little stop and go stuff, ripping through gas along my gas tank there. But trying to keep it in great shape, trying to keep it trying to keep it upright until further notice, until I have to go out and get a new one.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And good luck keeping that thing nursed along. And Lamborghinis, I mean, they've got some really nice Lamborghinis. I'm sure you're going to be hooked up with one of those before too long.
I was looking at Bentleys, actually, or maybe a Ducati motorcycle. Who knows? You know, maybe I can transition from a car to a motorcycle, or maybe I can get one of those Can-Am Spiders, you know, like the three-wheel ones. I can get one of those. Those ones look a lot safer.
Wow. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Of course. I'll be on in about 5 minutes or so.
Yes, you are. Trevor on News Radio 930 WBEN. He is Mr. Rush Hour and doing a great job for us. It is Bowerly, 445 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And talking about this traffic situation, and I wish I could tell you more details about what exactly it is with which the Canadians are dealing. And even the official story at this point, I don't know if software issues. Okay, what caused the software issues? You know, I'm sure at your job, don't you have software issues every now and again? And they normally they're pretty easily resolved by your IT person, or in our case, the engineers. And if the engineers can't deal with it, they send it to the IT people. But we have some outstanding engineers at Odyssey Buffalo. What exactly happened? I would like clarity on that. I would like clarification on that. But what we have here, and again, you know what? I'm not going to say, well, this is Donald Trump's fault. This all has to do with immigration documents. Well, if it's on the Canadian side, I'm not quite following the logic, if that's what people are saying. But I really wish, and I would like your thoughts on this. Think about this for a moment, okay? You remember the guy Richard Reed, the terrorist on the airliner who was going to blow up the airliner because he tried to light up a shoe bomb. I'm sure you remember that story. Even if you don't remember Richard Reed or that particular story from all those years ago, you certainly remember the upshot from it, which was every time you go to the airport, you got to take off your shoes. So maybe you stopped wearing tie shoes and you started wearing the slip-off shoes. Yeah, or maybe you're just lazy like I am and you always wore those anyway. We have done away with that in the Trump administration. Unless something triggers the alarm, you don't have to take your shoes off anymore. Can I tell you how grateful I am for that? Because I hated, I'm sure you did too, I hated the inconvenience and I hated the feeling of walking on the airport floor with only socks or with bare feet. Oh, that is so gross. But we don't do it anymore, okay? We've changed. I believe we've changed because the technology has improved since 2001, all right? Now, given the license plate readers, given the facial identification software, given the biometrics that have advanced exponentially over the past 20 plus years, would you also like to see the border between the United States and Canada, whether we're talking about the Lewiston-Queenston, the Rainbow, the Peace Bridge, would you like to see it go back to the way it was prior to September 11th, 2001? Personally, I would. Now, the question is, well, yeah, I think we would all, especially the truckers, I think we would all find that enormously convenient and very, very helpful to our transportation and our timing. Do you think we can do it safely? I'd like to believe we can. Yes, I'm aware that a lot of people illegally enter the United States from Canada. I don't know if the number of people actually apprehended because of the new details we must share about our life at the border. I don't know from a risk-benefit point of view. I don't know if the inconvenience we now face and have faced for over 20 years, I don't know if that is worth the benefit, if you follow what I'm saying. If they were arresting 2,000 people a day or 100 people a day, I can understand why you'd need to do it. But, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have that in the tool chest as something they could do. But what I'm saying is they've got license plate readers. They know your schedule. If every Friday you go for Chinese food, I don't think you need to be checked. I'm just putting it out there. Any disagreement? Any agreement? 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And how has this traffic nightmare affected you? And by the way, anybody else ever run out of gas? Because every time I see a vehicle on the traffic cams on the side of the road in a situation like the day before and yesterday and this morning, I always wonder how many of those cars thought they could make it, but they ran out of gas. You know, Trevor, we obviously spend a lot of time talking about the crossing in Erie County, but Niagara County sometimes gets a short shrift. As far as your numbers counting, Niagara County, the Lewiston-Queenston, and the Rainbow, when you look at everything, is that better or worse than the Peace Bridge? Not that it really matters for people who've been in line for a few hours.
Well, I would say right now the Rainbow Bridge is probably the way to go as of right now. The Peace Bridge and the Queenston-Lewiston Bridge, I would say, are pretty much the same right now, almost at a deadlock stall or almost at a gridlock stall right now. Very, very slow moving, still trying to push some of those commercial vehicles through, and it's taking forever at this point.
Well, I hope that things are going to clear up. And as far as the trucks that who is moving, I'm a little bit confused as to who is moving through and who isn't at the border crossings.
Well, at the border crossings, they're trying to get some of those commercial vehicles through. It's going as probably as fast as it possibly can. The non-commercial drivers are actually surprisingly getting through a little bit faster than the commercial vehicles. But if I'm just checking some of the cameras along the ramps, or approaching the ramps, especially around exit 8 at Niagara Street or maybe exit 7 at Church Street, a lot of those commercial vehicles just or non-commercial vehicles just happen to be sitting in those lanes almost completely stopped. So some people are moving, some people aren't, and some people are actually gridlock stalled right now, not even moving at all.
Well, I'm not trying to abuse your time, or because, but you happen to be a very important person right now, just so you're well aware of that. Have you been following individual vehicles to find out the length of time they've been stuck in ridiculously sticky situations?
I've been trying my best to follow some individual vehicles here, but my guess is if you are traveling on the 190 South, for example, from exit 14 at Ontario Street, and you're going all the way towards exit 9 at Porter Avenue, give or take probably a good 45 minutes to an hour getting through there.
Wow. You know what, Trevor? I wish that we had answers for people. All we can do is tell people exactly, you know, what is going on, and hopefully hear from some people for whom this has been not just a major inconvenience, but it's been a kick in the wallet, in the pocketbook.
That's right. We're telling you all the information that we know right now, and I know it's not the information that a lot of people want to hear. It's the fact that we don't have a lot of answers right now, and hopefully those do come right before the end of the show. That would be ideally the case, but as of right now, we're just telling you what we know, and what we know is slowdowns everywhere, road closures seemingly everywhere, gridlock stalls seemingly everywhere. So if you are stuck in that traffic, make sure that you are maintaining your patience. Don't want to make any sort of bad situation worse.
No, because flipping people off and banging the steering wheel has never done any good for anybody at any time in the history of driving.
No, absolutely not. And I wouldn't know from experience. Trust me, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, we talked about road rage last week, and trust me, it ain't worth it. It really isn't. Just be cool. That's all.
You move on with your life. Yeah.
Yes.
Just move on.
You're telling me to move on?
Oh, no, I'm talking about, you know, the average Joe behind the wheel of a car that decides to stick up a certain finger to someone else. Just,
right.
You know.
I am totally being silly. Thank you, Trevor. Great job, I must tell you.
Thank you so much.
It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. News is coming up with Mr. Puckett, and we're going to get more calls on in the 5 o'clock hour. You know, we don't get a lot of days where traffic is as bad as it's been. This is really an exception. This is an outlier, an anomaly. And I want to talk to you about that more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. You want to line yourself up? Especially truckers. I cannot believe not a single trucker has called in. I am hurt. I'm bilious. I feel as though my love for you is unrequited. Have I no truckers listening right now? Huh. I'll retire to Bedlam. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Yes, Ebenezer Scrooge, always a great quote. All right, Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN, and it's not every day we do full traffic programming here, but I guess this is one of those days. And think back to the blizzard, the Christmas blizzard we experienced. That was traffic and snow all the time. And let me just make another observation that I think is very relevant. I hope that this traffic situation has taught us all some certain truths in life, which I will explore coming up, and I want to get your thoughts on the way I think. And again, I could be wrong. I want to know where you are on this. 803-0930 is the main number. I'll give you some specifics coming up, but let's get some calls. Pardon me. I will share some general thoughts on this coming up, but I don't want to keep Dave and Hamburg on hold any longer than he's already been. I'd like to throw some Canadian in there. Dave, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Tom? I just wanted to say, per Trevor's report, I got off on Ontario Street, coming from Niagara Falls, home from work, and was able to work my way to Elmwood, and it was a smooth sailing ride, Elmwood and Delaware, right through the city to the Skyway. So if you want to avoid that 45-minute delay between Ontario and Porter through the city is a decent alternative route other than the regular lights, but the traffic isn't heavy, so I just wanted to pass that on.
You know what? Yes. I mean, look, I'm glad that we were of help to you. And I'm going to ask you another question that I've not really been throwing out there to individuals who've called in. You know, a lot of people think that AM radio is, well, it's old school, it's outdated, it has no utility whatsoever. And I'm not really trying to blow our own horn. Okay, obviously I am, and that's BS. Okay, I'm trying to blow our own horn. But do you understand that AM radio is really important in situations like this? Not me, but AM radio. And it needs to be in cars because you're not going to get this on satellite radio. You're not going to get this on FM.
No, I agree. I listen to you every morning and every afternoon just for these reasons here and news updates. So, yeah, absolutely.
I'm very glad that I'm very glad that we're able to help you. I truly am. And, you know, that makes us feel good. Every single one of us at the radio station, just so you know, we take this seriously. Don't take ourselves seriously, but helping you, we do.
All right, I appreciate
hearing from you and glad we are of assistance. So, Tanner, I've got a pop-up box that is covering the person who is calling in. I believe that's Mr. Wenger. Oh, sorry, I couldn't see it because I cannot ditch this box for some really weird reason. Oh, there it goes. Joining us right now on News Radio 930 WBEN from the Lewiston PD, the chief, the big guy, Michael Salata. Chief, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. How are you?
Really, really appreciate it. I know you'll be sending us your card after the interview. But, Chief, let me ask you this. When at the Lewiston PD did you first become aware that things were getting a little bit weird at the crossing?
Throughout the week, we've known there's been issues. Today specifically, we experienced some heavy traffic issues with Lewiston Road as well as Military Road. As you head northbound into the town, which required our patrols to be dispatched and start handling some traffic control. So throughout the week, it's been building up, but I think today it kind of reached its peak with traffic problems.
What have the residents of Lewiston been complaining to you at all about the increase in traffic and, of course, the noise that often accompanies it?
We've received some complaints, mainly regarding tractor trailers pulled over on the side of residential streets and blocking driveways and kind of popping up in places that they're not normally seen. No real issues with noise or any issues related to that. Just more the increased truck traffic on streets that they don't normally see them.
So in a situation like this, Chief, now obviously there are the laws and there is also local police discretion. Have you had to use, shall we say, discretion and judgment with respect to where trucks are allowed to park overnight and where they may not be allowed to park overnight, at least insofar as public property is concerned?
Yeah, so working with the state police as well as Town of Niagara Police, there were some vacant lots in the Town of Niagara. And Wheatfield, the old Summit Park Mall, as well as the old Sam's Club there. And we were directing trucks to stage there and so they could be released to the bridge to cross.
Do you have any indication, you probably have better sources than I do, any indication as to what exactly is going on? Because we keep on hearing software issues on the Canadian side. Are you able to expand upon that at all?
Unfortunately, I'm not. That's the same information that that we've received, is that it's a computer issue that's affecting their ability on the Canadian side to process the trucks.
So I must ask you, because we're dealing with a situation that has fallen into your lap in Lewiston PD, but it also happens to deal with an international crossing, are you working at all with the feds on this?
Personally, we are not. That's being handled more at the state level with the New York State Troopers and government in Albany.
Well, I mean, the reason I would ask that is, again, international, and you guys might not have the resources to, if somebody presents you ID, to validate the ID. That's why I went in that direction.
If there's a traffic stop involving a out-of-state or out-of-country citizen, we can still run those DMV things if needed, but most of our issues and most of our concerns have just been with the traffic control and ensuring that people who are still intending to get to the town can get to the town, and the trucks are put in a place that, you know, it's safe for them and other motorists to proceed.
Do you have any message that you'd like to get out to any truck driver who may have been marooned in Lewiston in terms of what they should or should not do, or just in general general advice?
We just appreciate all the cooperation with both the truck drivers and other motorists. I know it puts a damper on people's days when they're delayed, and what are normal, Lewiston Road and Military Road, which are normal, roads that you can travel with very little delay and taking some people upwards of 30 minutes to make it a few miles. We appreciate their cooperation and following posted detours and the police officers who are out there and following, you know, the directions that they're giving. So just thank you for the cooperation from everybody.
Well, it's times like this, Chief, where people really do need to, number one, cooperate, and number two, not get flustered and frustrated and angry and upset and fall into road rage.
Correct. There's unfortunately, there's not much we can do to change the situation. We're doing our best, and sometimes our reasoning for closing a road or detouring people in a different direction is because it's the best route of travel to get them out of the area or to their destination. And while it may seem silly at the time, there's a method to our madness in ensuring that that we're getting people to where they need to go.
I would imagine that, how are your officers doing at the Lewiston PD? I know you guys adapt very well to the changing and dynamic situations, but has this put any strictures or restraints on the availability and accessibility of your resources or personnel?
Nope. Our patrol officers have done a great job. Our command staff has done a great job, and you know, we were kind of thrown into our laps this morning with the delays that we saw in the coming up with a solution, and everybody worked together great, and you know, even, you know, respond, you know, we were still able to respond to calls for service within the town, and you know, get everything taken care of in the normal service that Lewiston would expect.
Yeah, I know you're busy dealing with events and people in the gorgeous village of Lewiston, but did you have a chance to see the way Niagara Falls looked the other day, like an absolute parking lot?
I did not, no. I've heard some of the horror stories, but I have not seen the result of some of the stuff yet.
Well, you know, the real sad thing here, Chief, is they missed the Peach Festival, and I think, you know, I'd be upset about that. But if you had to focus in on the areas which are most heavily, shall we say, saddled with extra, in particular, truck traffic, those areas would be?
We have seen an increase on Military Road, trying to get to the Upper Mountain Overpass to where the border crossing is. We've seen an increase on Lewiston Road in the area of Niagara University, and even High Park Boulevard coming in from that area, that the small stretch there that's still part of Lewiston. So what's happening is with the thruway being closed down at the town Niagara, Niagara Falls mark, it's forcing people to find other routes, but also the truck drivers are finding those routes as well. And unfortunately, they may not know at the time that it's heading them towards the bridge that they couldn't cross at the time. So those were probably the three major pinch points that we saw.
By the way, I must tell you that as far as the Art Park situation, you guys at the Lewiston PD, and I know Parks Police and State Troopers, they've also been involved, and if I'm leaving anybody out, I apologize, but the way you guys have developed the plan for people getting into, but especially out of Art Park for the concerts, I have to applaud you, because you are a small police department. I know you've worked with other people, but you have gotten a very difficult logistics situation very much under control, and I think you need recognition for that.
I appreciate that, and yeah, it's definitely something like today we've had a lot of practice in. I mean, getting to Art Park is a one lane road in and a one lane road out. Over the years, we've developed that, you know, exit strategy to keep Center Street flowing. And I think some of that came into play today.
Now, if there's something you could do for the surface streets by the off ramps, people trying to get out of the traffic yesterday or today, that'd be appreciated too, since you got this down. Chief, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Is there anything you want to get out there that I may not have specifically asked you?
Nothing particular. Just thank you for having me, and I appreciate everybody's cooperation. And I just will stress to motorists, you know, if you're stuck in delays, just stay calm, and we'll try our best to get you where you need to go as soon as possible.
Chief, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate your time. Chief Michael Salada of the Village of Lewiston PD. And look, I've said that before on the air about how great Art Park has become to get out of. And I want to give the guy some recognition on air when he's actually here, talking about the traffic and some other stuff too, which I will get into specifically after the news at 5:30. Now, here's the deal. I have people on hold who want to talk. And I want to talk to you. I had to go to the police chief first because all day long I've been asking, please get me an expert. Please get me somebody who knows what's going on or can give us some information. And he was great enough to come on, but the downside is I had to leave you guys on hold a little bit longer, and I apologize for that, but patience is a virtue. So please be patient. I'll get to you after the news at 5:30. I wish I could make this better for you. Hopefully, maybe at least you're entertained. I still want to hear from truck drivers. I'm becoming a little angry with truck drivers. All of my respect, all of my love, all of my empathy. And you won't even call to tell me what's going on with you? Huh. Harumph. Harumph. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. By the way, unrequited means I love you, but you don't love me.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bowerly, News Radio 930, WBEN. Obviously, traffic and the border crossing, a big deal today. I'd also throw in there, have you ever run out of gas? Because I really wonder how many people, to add to everything that's going on at the border, hopped on a road yesterday, maybe today, thinking it's only a five-minute drive. And here you sit a week later. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. This is why you need AM radio in your car. This is also why the next time a politician starts complaining about the 198 and the 33, and we have to do away with those roads, we have to seriously overhaul those roads. All right, how are the surface streets working out for you? How did Niagara Street go? How did Elmwood go? How did I mention Ontario? How did Delaware go? Did that work out for you okay? How'd Grant Street go? Probably not real well, just saying. Let's go to Tom in beautiful Newstead on WBEN. Hello.
That's right. Newstead. South
yes,
Newstead.
Yes, sir. Oh, hey, I'm sorry. It's like South Cheektowaga.
Well, it's on the map. It's a little crossroad where there was a grocery store. But I like to put it out there just to use the name. People around here know where it is. Now, I was a truck driver for 48 years and spent a lot of years in a city, a lot of years on the road. One of the best ones I had was when I was on the road, I was out for six days at a time. You come home on Sunday morning, sometimes, 4 or 5 o'clock, depending on the time of the year, it's pitch black. I got off on Transit Road. There was a big, well-known trucking company right there at the exit. We used to pull our doubles right out of our fence onto the thruway. So I'm done for the week, just got to check in, do my papers, and I'm coming up along the guardrail. The toll booth at 48 is quite a ways back from the road. I'm going along the guardrail, and there's a guy laying under the guardrail lengthwise
what?
With no shirt on, no shoes, and just jeans on. And he looked to be unconscious. So I pulled into the yard and then walked up there into the doubles compound. I walked back up there, and sure enough, he's out of it. I didn't know if he was dead or what. I didn't want to touch him or do – I didn't know CPR at the time.
Right.
And so I didn't want to do anything bad. So I called the Cheektowaga police and stood there and on my own time. And at the end of 6 days, so we are the salt of the earth. To save a life, we'll do that.
Of course.
So a patrolman came out, and he had a young woman riding with him. Shotgun, I hope it was official, where they would take a civilian with them. So he says, well, is he breathing and all that? I said, I don't know. I didn't get too close to him. I just rolled him out from underneath the thing, see if he would stir. So he bends down. He's telling this lady, he says, now this procedure is the purple nurple.
The purple nurple. I'm pretty sure people may have an idea what the purple nurple.
That's what he called it.
Okay. There are different names for the purple nurple, but if those people listening have no idea, it involves... Hold on. Let me just explain this in medical terms. It involves the placement of digits upon the areola of either a male or a female and twisting with some degree of pressure or force. The expression purple nurple refers to the discoloration of the skin brought about by bruising and broken blood vessels. Therefore, a purple nurple.
And, of course, with the idea, see what kind of a reaction you get. Try it on your friend and see what happens. So, nothing happened. So, she's looking. Well, he called the ambulance. Now, I would have thought they would have called when I called in. You know what I mean? Here's a guy unconscious, laying on the side of the road. So, he had to call the ambulance. You know how police are. And never took my name or anything. And I left. The ambulance was hauling him away when I left. I went out that gate. I said to him, "You want my name or something?" No. Everything's casual. Sunday morning, dead guy on the road. So I don't know whether he died or lived. I don't know.
Well, I certainly hope he did, but obviously that's going to leave a mark with you. Now, I want to get into some other stuff here. Now, the first thing I think is actually very, very common. Most of us at some point in our lifetimes, we will make a calculation mistake and we're going to run out of gas, even though we should not. It's only happened to me once back in the 1980s when we were driving to Chautauqua County for the wedding of former WBEN traffic reporter and newsperson Barbara Burt, way back when. And
Burt?
I ran out of Barbara Burt at Chautauqua Lake, and I ran out of gas at the Mayville exit. I almost did. In recent history, we were driving somewhere, and the gas tank started out saying, "You have 50 miles." And my wife said, "We need to get gas." I said, "You know, actually, we're in a hurry. We've got 50 miles. The destination is 5 miles away. I think we've got this." She finally convinced me to stop at the gas station. And after I filled up, I realized I probably had about 10 feet of gasoline actually left before I'd filled it up. So thank God I listened to her every now and again.
Better that than an airplane. Okay.
Yes. Well, that actually came up before with an individual who took flying lessons, and you'd never mess around with anything involving an airplane, ever.
No, the guy that started the Geneseo Warbird Museum was a dentist. He acquired a P-40 and painted it up like the Flying Tigers. And years after that air show got really big, he had done some repairs and didn't put a whole lot of gas in it, and he crashed the damn thing. Couldn't get back to the airport. I think that is a dumb A award of the year. The thing is priceless. You know?
Okay, I hope that he survived the crash.
He did.
Oh, thank God. I mean, things can be replaced. Human life cannot be replaced.
Well, long enough, sometimes it can't be replaced. Long enough that the repairs cost so much, he took two partners, and they swindled him out of his airplane. He lost
Good
it.
Heavens.
Yeah,
Good heavens.
That's how your buddies are. If I could say one more life-saving thing that somebody might think about sometime.
You may.
On a summertime, with 200-gallon tanks, I didn't run out of fuel. So that would be a firing offense. So, because that's like 1,000 miles. So what happened to me was when I was working a city, I had for 7 years, I peddled the Pennsylvania border, Olean, Salamanca, and all that. And, of course, this fall festival coming up through Ellicottville is a nightmare. With a truck in the evening.
Let me just say this. When you go to Ellicottville for Fall Fest, there are no shortcuts. People even caught on to, what is it, 39? Some people started to take 30. Yeah, people wised up. There's no easy way to get there.
It all jams up. Any practical way. So, and of course, with a truck, it's worse. So anyhow, I'm coming up at the end of the day, you know, long days, like 10, 12 hours a day. And 5 days a week. I'm coming up at the end of the day, and I get on there where it used to be the country fair at 39 and 219, where it ended. It's one more exit down now. I forget what the name of the road is. But it eliminates that bridge, you know, over the creek. So I drove by. There was a parking area across the road from the entrance, where half a dozen vehicles could get in there. And the one at the end was like a six-horse trailer, good-sized trailer with an old Dodge pickup. And there was an old man, like I am now, laying on the grass next to his dog. And he looked at me. I'm a very friendly guy, and even from a distance, I waved to him. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a real weak wave back. And I turned and up the hill, you know, up towards Genesee Road. It's uphill all the way. And I got to thinking, boy, that didn't look right. And so I got up to Genesee Road. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I said, I'm going to turn around and go back and see what the hell's going on.
Good grief.
And I parked in there and ran up to him. I said, are you okay? And he just croaked out, diabetic. He was in shock. He couldn't get to his phone. And he didn't have anything to eat. And, I mean, it was hot sun. Well, I ran as fast as I could to that country fair, that big truck stop convenience store. I went right to the front of the line. I said, excuse me, I got to get some orange juice or something. I said, this is what's going on. So in the meantime, thank God for cell phones. I'm calling the police, and they said, we've been looking for that guy for an hour because his phone went dead. He said he needed help. He was nearly out of it, and his phone went dead. We've been cruising around looking for him because we had no description. And he said, that's the guy. So the ambulance came up. They loaded him up. I ran back, and I fed him that orange juice because I'm a diabetic, and I know that much. And that's one I'll take credit for. So I got on the phone then when I started climbing a hill. Mm-hmm. I told a dispatcher at night, I was always late getting home, I said, hey, Tom, it's his same name. I said, I'm going to be half an hour late. And he said, well, what happened? This guy's always suspicious. And I told him, there was a long silence, and he said, holy bleep. And he said, what, do you attract that kind of stuff? And well, I said, guess so. But the God was talking to me and said, go back. There's something wrong.
Tom, I don't think it's a question of you being suspicious. I think it's a question of you being very analytical. When you see or read things, you ask yourself the question, does this make sense? Is this consistent?
And
if you see if you feel some dissonance, you want to get to the bottom of it. That's actually quite an admirable trait.
Well,
you don't just swallow what people tell you.
I've had ADD all my life. It served me well until I retired because nothing ever bothered me. Because I was always running all kinds of possibilities in my mind, and nothing ever bothered me because things were screwing up all the time, especially in a city. Somebody calls in a pickup 20 miles behind you. You got to decide, am I going back for it or what? And the bosses depended on me because I was that kind of a guy. So then one that was funny, this is the last one.
Well, I got a break. I'm sorry, but I'm enjoying the conversation, but I really must break or I won't be having conversations with many people too much longer. If you want to get on board, we're talking about the traffic situation in Western New York and kind of branching out into other things here. I mean, Good Samaritans. I like hearing Good Samaritan stories, right? Because especially now in this age of no civility, helping out other people you don't know, you have no idea. I mean, obviously, do it safely. I don't want anybody getting mugged trying to help somebody, and that does happen. But when you can safely help somebody, you make such a huge difference in their life. You really do. Hey, Trevor, compared to the post-Bills game traffic, how do you rate what you've been dealing with today and yesterday?
Oh, man, the post-Bills game traffic is nothing compared to this. I will say, because at least with the Bills traffic, I don't want to give out all my secrets because I don't think magicians should do that, but I have it all templated out. So I talk about the surrounding streets around the stadium. I go into the main line of the throughways, and I go into some of the surrounding roads around the stadium, and I kind of just go through that and see like what is closed and what's not. This, I'm kind of just mad scrambling, just going through all my notes here. What is closed? What is open? How long is this congestion? How long does it go from? What exits? What numbers? This is crazy. I would take, Bill's traffic, I could probably do that in my sleep, honestly, Tom, but this is wild.
Literally in your sleep?
I think so. I pretty much did the morning traffic after the last Thursday night game
good
half asleep, I think. So
I
think I probably
could. I certainly
could
understand that.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that's pretty awesome. And just wait until winter, Trevor. Wait until winter. That's all I'm going to tell you.
And believe it or not, I remember when I started doing this like 10 or so months ago, maybe 11 months ago, I started doing this when the snow was just starting to come down. So if there was ever a time to be baptized by fire, or in this case, baptized by snow and blizzards, that's a good way to learn. When you get some of the strong congestion and big traffic days out of the way first, you can pretty much handle anything else.
Brother. Well, we certainly appreciate everything you handle, because everything you do for our listeners.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
WBEN. So anyway, hopefully everything is going to get resolved. And basically, here's the deal. I mean, I'm going to say stuff that I've said before, but I do find it. One of the great things about Western New York that I know you love is we generally don't have days like today or yesterday. We really don't. We're pretty fortunate when it comes to the average commute in Western New York. If you doubt what I'm saying, pay attention the next time you go through Pittsburgh. Now, frankly, I've not found Cleveland to be that bad. Pittsburgh, maybe it's the hills. I don't know. Charlotte, rush hour, Charlotte. I'm sorry. I'd rather drive in New York City. Charlotte is a you-know-what. Friday in Jacksonville in the summertime, Florida. And when the snowbirds go to Florida, if you're ever in Jacksonville, that can be very frustrating as well. Not going to lie. So we don't get that. You know, in Western New York, it's easy. So a day like this where days like this, they're just not a lot of fun, and we're not used to them. And by the way, I mentioned Jacksonville. You want to talk about being delayed in traffic. I've told you before about the Christmas ice storm of 1980. Now, I was driving to Buffalo, ended up in Jacksonville day after day after day because of the ice storm, with a dog and a cat keeping me company. Oh, and they ran out of alcohol to make it worse. It was a tragedy. The humanity. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks to Trevor for just great job. Great work today. Just doing like, you know, five times what he usually does. Tanner Saunders behind the glass. Tanner, if I sound good at all, it's because Tanner makes me sound good. Stay tuned. Buffalo's Evening News is coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN. I hope we're able to talk about other stuff other than cars and running out of gas and driving-related stuff tomorrow on News Radio 930 WBEN. Maybe we'll do a full discussion on asphalt.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.